And we'll see what God has to share for us this morning. I'll actually just pray first. Lord, let's give you thanks that we have a chance to delve into your word. We give you thanks that your word is your message to us to help us be prepared for this life and for the next. And we pray as we explore this passage together that you would open our hearts and minds and make us more like you because of the things that we hear and wrestle with this morning. Amen. So I think many of you know that I work for Christians Against Poverty, which is a Christian charity that works with local churches around the country to spread the good news and to help people in practical ways. And one of the great blessings and one of the things I've learnt over the 4 years or so I have been with Christians Against Poverty is just how amazing and how diverse the body of Christ is expressed in New Zealand. And even yesterday I was at Papatoa Seventh-day Adventist Community Church as they were launching two new services to their community. And again, the blessing of being in a different church environment, a different expression of faith, a different way of doing worship, and just being able to meet new Christians I had never met before, reacquainting with Christians I hadn't seen in a long time, and how wonderful it is that we do have a real sincere brotherhood between believers of different ilks. And I'm looking forward in a couple of weeks. Our charity is having a national staff conference, and we'll have about 150 people from all across the country come together to spend 3 days becoming closer to one another, closer to God, and closer to the heart of the work that we're doing in our communities. And for me, I think that's one of the great things of the church, is this unity of believers, that we do literally have brothers and sisters all over the world. But any of those who have traveled internationally or gone overseas or visited churches on holiday, hopefully you have tasted this. You walk into a new environment, a new group of believers, and there is a connection that we have with one another that goes beyond words or shared experience. It's a real unity in Christ. I know that when we've gone on to Asia on short-term mission trips, we'll be sitting in a church service or meeting Christians, and we have no language to share. We can't speak their language, don't understand what's being said, but you can feel the unity that comes from the blood of Christ. And this morning we come to a passage in which we see the unity of the church expressed in various ways. As it reaches out across culture and we start seeing unity come between these diverse groups. So this passage picks up the story of the church after Acts 8. So back in Acts 8 we saw the death of Stephen and persecution break out all across Judea. And the early church was hard pressed by the people wishing to destroy it. And as a result, they scattered. They scattered all across the known world, running away from persecution, but taking with them the good news about Jesus. Between Acts 8 and Acts 11, we've explored this whole introduction of the gospel and the Holy Spirit to the wider world, how the Samaritans and the Gentiles were being touched by the Holy Spirit, and the gospel was transforming their lives. And now we pick up the story again as this gospel starts to go out into the wider world. So verse 19, it tells us that those scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And these people, as they spread, they were taking the word about Jesus, the good news about Jesus, to the Jews. But some of them, when men from Cyprus and Cyrene, those who had a more diverse background, they went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, to true Gentiles, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And as they did this, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people turned to the Lord. This is great. This is the everyday believer. This isn't the big apostles. This isn't the rock stars of the faith doing this work. This is the everyday Christian, the everyday believer in Jesus, who hard-pressed by persecution had to run away. But as they ran, they took the most important thing in their life with them, which was the good news about Jesus. And as they went, they ministered to the people they met. Those of a Jewish background ministered to the Jews, and those of the Greekish background ministers of the Greeks. There was something innate in who they were, that they had the desire to share this precious gift. They didn't get caught up in, we really have to just talk to the Jews. There were people who said, I'm Greek, I'm a Gentile, I've exposed to this culture, I just need to work in this area. And I think even this is a great reminder for us that all of us are different. All of us have different mission fields. When they scattered, they didn't all just go to one place. They didn't all just go to the Jews. They scattered and they went where God called them to. And they ministered to the people that God called them to minister to. People have different callings. People have different skills. People have different giftings. And it's good for us to remember that as we look across the diversity of expression of church in our culture. As we know that just in Takanini or just in Papakura, Manurewa, there's probably dozens of churches meeting this morning. We know that God has called each one of these churches to a slightly different expression. We all do church slightly different. We all express our faith in Jesus slightly different. But there is a goodness in that. There is usefulness in that. There is power in that. As each of us has been made different, as each of us has been gifted different, as each of us expresses ourselves differently, it is good that there is a home for those expressions. And now, the reality is that in each of these expressions, there will be some degree of imperfection. As we sit here today as Trinity Church Takanini, we have to admit that we are not perfect. We are not God's perfect expression of what church looks like. We do our best. We try to express our best understanding of what God's true church looks like. We try to follow theology as best we can. We try to express church practice as best we can. We try to express Christian love for one another the best we can. But the truth is, we're not going to do it perfectly every time. And it's good for us to remember this. I know sometimes when I was a younger fella, I can get quite fired up and passionate at times. And sometimes I'd shake my head at these silly Baptists and their arminious views. Oh, come on, guys, that's just ridiculous. Not really Christians, are you? You don't have things right. Because growing up, but sometimes we have this idea that it's us and them. It's us good grace Presbyterians versus those old dodgy Presbyterians. Or it's us good reform people against those charismatic people. We have all these us and them divisions in the church. When really, we're united in the blood of Jesus. And while it's good for us to strive and encourage and challenge one another to be more righteous, more pure, more correct, closer to the true purpose and intent of God for the church, we sometimes put up the differences and the barriers higher than the call of Jesus for us to be united and to share in that expression. Or do we say, good on you. You are expressing your love for God and your understanding of who God is in the best way you can. And we support them. Do we encourage our brothers and sisters that we meet them? When we meet another Christian from a different church, do we get excited that they're doing good work for the name of Jesus in their community? Or do we tut-tut about the points of differences that we have between us and them? I would encourage us to look at each other and to be encouraged that God has called us to be different, to express ourselves differently, and in our different ministries and different expressions of faith, we're able to call different people into the kingdom of God. I think this is one of the amazing things here. As we go on to the next verses, verses 22 and 24, the news of this bubbling church in these new areas reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So when the established church, the proper church in Jerusalem, heard that this new work was being started somewhere else, was bubbling up, they didn't go in there with the heavy hammer trying to sort it, okay, let's get this all sorted out, let's get this straight. They sent Barnabas. And the thing we learn about Barnabas in the Bible is that Barnabas was a real encourager. He was a real gentle man. He could see what was wrong. He could see the brokenness. He could see the discord. And he would bring harmony. He'd bring unity. Barnabas was the one who first reached out to Paul. When everyone was still scared of Paul, Barnabas was the one who went to Paul and brought Paul to to the apostles and said, look, this is Paul. This is Saul. He's a changed man. I know he used to do those horrible things to the people of God, but now he's one of us. Barnabas was the one that mended the fences between Saul and the church. So when they sent Barnabas to go up to Antioch to see what was going, they were sending their gentle ambassador, the unifier, the one who would bring people together. Because they didn't say, we are the true church, you need to adhere to us. They sent someone gentle to say, what's going up there? Go up there and encourage them in their faith. This is a good thing. This work is spreading. The good news about Jesus is going out. Let's send this man who will help these people to encourage them and unite them to us. And that was real humble of that group of leaders in Jerusalem. They didn't flex the muscle by sending their five of their big apostle names up there. They didn't send the heavy hitters. They didn't try to impose their will on this new church. But they sent a servant-hearted man to build them up and encourage them. And I think that's a really significant thing. The leaders of that early church were open-minded to new things. They were open-minded to new works of God. And they sought to support them and build them up. They sought to bless and encourage these new believers and help them on their journey towards understanding and love and relationship with God. Their open-mindedness, that willingness to accept that there are other expressions of faith in God, other expressions of worship, other expressions of practice that are worth encouraging, worth supporting, worth endorsing. It's a good thing. And we can learn from one another. We can find out from one another what is good, what works, how to do ministry better. One of my favorite things that I have in my life at the moment is I often get to go and visit pastors, meet new churches. On Friday, I had the privilege of spending lunchtime with the pastors and the elders of, I'm going to say this right because they always tell me off, Elam Christian Center, West Auckland. A man named Selwyn Jackson's a pastor out there, and they've just opened up one of our debt help centers over there. And I got to sit with him and hear his heart for ministry, his love for community, his love for every member ministry, his delight in seeing his church start to look like his community, to see over the journey of many years an insular church going to an outreach-focused church, a closed-off church going to an expressive and welcoming church. And I was inspired by hearing his heart for community, his heart for every member ministry. It's great to see what they can do. And as we talk to other Christians and we find out what their passions are, what their love of God is like, we can be encouraged and strengthened in our own faith. But we only can do that when we are open-minded, when we don't think about what's different between us and what the barriers are between us. But we seek to see what unites us, and that's the blood of Jesus. These are our brothers and sisters. These are our co-workers in the field. They've just been called to a different field with different tools than we have. But most of them are doing a good work. Being open-minded doesn't mean we discard truth. But we don't go in with a hammer of truth. We go in there with discernment and wisdom and encouragement. And if there are things that we feel that aren't right, have a productive conversation, encourage them, support them, and be open in our own hearts and minds to have our beliefs challenged and helped. We aren't the owners of soul truth. I know that my theology is not perfect, and I suspect your theology is not perfect, because none of us can truly understand God. None of us can truly understand God's intent in this world because he is perfect and we are not. So if someone wants to challenge us or encourage us or help us to think differently about the way we live and express our faith, maybe we should be open to that. And maybe we can learn more what it looks like to love God and to serve God and to honor God with our lives. So as Barnabas is in Antioch, he's doing this work, he's encouraging and building up these young churches. The next thing is also a really interesting thing. Barnabas was a pretty significant man. He was the chosen one of Jerusalem to go to Antioch. But when he got there and he was working amongst the churches, in verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Barnabas, this man of God, who was chosen by the church of Jerusalem to go and support and build up these new churches, when he got there and he saw what was happening, Barnabas also shows humility here. And he shows great wisdom. And when he saw the work that was going on and who it was going on with and the scope of it, Barnabas had the wisdom to go and find help. Because none of us can do all the work by ourselves. Barnabas had the humility of saying, I need somebody else. Who is the person that can help me in this work? And he went and got his friend Saul. And Saul came, and together they worked alongside, shoulder to shoulder, in equipping and building up this new church. And I think that's an amazing thing. Barnabas was thinking, as he was working with the church, what can I do to better serve these people? How can I best make this church, this ministry, this fellowship work? And he realized what was needed was more workers, somebody else to come and share the load. He didn't think that he could do it all. He didn't have ambitions of being able to do all ministry to all people. He realized that he needed help, and he was willing to go out and find that help in the person of Saul. And it's great. The motivation that we need to have as people is, what do we need to do to best serve the church? How do we best serve the church? How do we best minister to this church? How do we best use the gifts that we have to use to best benefit the people of God? And for Barnabas, who was a unifier, who was a person that could bring people together, his gift was bringing Saul and uniting Saul to the people of Antioch. He knew that, Barnabas knew that he wasn't necessarily going to be the one who was going to be able to do the amazing preaching and converting that Saul could do. So he realized, I'll bring in the person with the gift to help this church become all it can be. So as we look at our own lives, we need to realize what our role and purpose in the kingdom of God is, and express that purpose the best way that we can. And sometimes we realize that the things that we can do are enough. We don't have all the answers. And sometimes the best thing that we can do is ask for help and find somebody who is gifted in that area, who maybe has the time to do that ministry, who has the heart for it, and reach out and engage that person and invite them in to what needs to be done. I think Barnabas gives an amazing example of that. One of the great privileges I have is to go and support our brothers and sisters in Providence. And Providence this morning, I know they're praying for us this morning. I've talked to Wally, the pastor there. I've talked to Bruce, the elder there. And I said, look, our church is going to be impacted this morning. It's going to be emotionally challenged by the events of yesterday. And can you, as our brothers and sisters, pray for us? And I know that they're going to pray for us. I know they're going to care for us, because I've been in their fellowship. And I've seen the heart that and love that they have. And as I go to their church, and I'm able to bring my teaching gift to their congregation, I know that I can strengthen them. I know that as they pray for us, they will strengthen us with their prayers and their care. And that is a great beauty of the people of God. We can go and touch other people's lives. We can go touch other churches' lives. We can go touch other Christians' lives and bring our gifts, our love, our care, and make a difference. It's the beauty of the body of Christ. We all have something to offer. And we all know somebody who has something different to offer. They can serve in situations we can't. I know that as we consider how to best love and care and support for Ian and Christine and their family, all of us will be triggered in different ways. There are some of us who made us want to go over there and sit and cry and give them hugs and be with them, which is a beautiful expression of care for them. There will be some of us here who may not have all the feelings in quite the same way. And maybe their expression of care will be to do practical things, practical needs, help, care, and support. Others may want to take the burden off in other ways. But each of us has an expression of care given the way God has made us. Each of us needs to express our care for that family in the way that God has made us to care for that family. Maybe that's a word of wisdom. Maybe that's a word of care. Maybe that's a hug. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's a practical expression. But all of us, because our family in God is suffering, should be moved to want to support them. But they won't look the same for all of us. And we can't judge another person in this congregation because they haven't expressed care the same way you have or might. Because we're all different. We all bring our different strengths the same way that Barnabas and Saul, working together, were able to achieve more in that ministry than they could have individually. As this passage wraps up, I love the beauty of how it ends. In verses 27, we see that a prophet named Agabus came to Antioch. And when he arrived, he told the congregation there that there was going to be a severe famine that was spread over the entire Roman world. And this relatively new church that was only a year or so old, when they heard this, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for their brothers and sisters living in Judea. And they did this, sending their gift to their elders by Barnabas and Saul. This new church, this little sister baby church of the great Jerusalem mother church, when they heard that their brothers and sisters were going to suffer greatly because of the persecution that was present in that place, the famine would impact them more because they wouldn't have the same access and rights as everyone else would. When they heard and considered the suffering that their brothers and sisters, most of them whom they'd never met, had never seen before, never had a personal relationship with, when they heard that their brothers and sisters were suffering, they were moved to action. Each disciple, each individual believer, as they heard this message, as they were able, as God had given them the wealth or opportunity, were moved to act in love towards their brothers and sisters. I think it's a beautiful expression of what the church is. It's not about one church being the provider of all goodness and wisdom and knowledge. It's not the one church being a provider of all power and good and service. It's each church, as it's able, in its different place and circumstances, showing love to other churches. Even if we don't know them, even if we aren't familiar with them, if we hear of a church suffering, if we hear of a Christian suffering that's not of our fold, we should still be moved to action, moved to care. It was interesting, at our session meeting the other night, as we were meeting, Dan found out that a church in Rotorua had suffered a major fire. And Michelle, I believe you have some connection in your younger days to that church. And there's that sense of our brothers and sisters in Rotorua have gone through a significant event. Their church has burnt down. And our hearts are moved by that. We know that there's a congregation this morning in Rotorua who are in an unfamiliar environment. Because the place that they've spent so many years crafting and building and ministering and worshiping in has been greatly impacted by that fire. And how are they going to adjust? How are they going to do ministry and worship in this new context? And it was cool to see Michelle and Dan's hearts move because of their love for this congregation that they haven't been in contact with for many, many years. But because they are our brothers and sisters, and they're going through a hard time, we're moved. Or when we hear about our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, for those who are familiar with Amjad's ministry and get their newsletters, who are suffering today because of their faith in Jesus, we as Christians should be moved by that. Because those are our brothers and sisters just as much as the person sitting in the pew next to you today is your brother and sister. Because the blood of Jesus unites all his people. The blood of Jesus makes us brothers and sisters. The blood of Jesus makes us family. Even if we've never met them, even if we don't know them by name, those are our brothers and sisters. And we need to love and care for them when we are able, as best we can, given what God has given us and what God has enabled us to do. This concept of the church being much bigger then these four walls is a very important one. We need to be mindful that God is building a kingdom, that God is establishing a work through all the world and not just inside these four walls. And I would encourage us to know that and to appreciate that, and where possible, support the work of the kingdom of God beyond these four walls. Whether that's in practical ways, whether that's in encouraging ways, whether that's in financial ways. Whatever we can do to support the building of God's kingdom, to support the lives and the work of our brothers and sisters in Christ outside these four walls is a good thing. We're part of the Grace Presbyterian Churches of New Zealand. We're not on an island. So it's great when we have our combined services to come to those and see what and hear what our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing. These are people we have been called in our expression to walk alongside with, to minister side by side with, and express our unity with. When you aren't at church, aren't in Takanini, aren't in Auckland, if you're on holiday, I encourage you to visit a church and see what they're doing. When you're at work or at school or around the place and you meet another Christian, ask them what's going on in their church. Ask them how they're expressing their ministry for God. Ask them what God's doing in their life. Because as brothers and sisters, as a family of God, we have so much to learn from one another. We have so much encouragement to find from one another. And we have so much opportunity to minister to one another outside of these four walls. And now, I know one of the things that I love about this church is the community that we have, the care that we have for one another, and the acceptance we have of one another, and the fact that none of us here are perfect. Each of us have flaws, each of us have strengths, each of us have weaknesses, and we embrace that and accept that, and we work together to become more like God. But let's expand our horizons. Let's take that same acceptance, that same love, that same care, that same passion, and extend that to the whole family of believers, the ones we know and the ones we've yet to know. Because one day, in God's kingdom, we will stand alongside them and celebrate all that God has done for each of us, and the way that each one of us has expressed our giftedness and our calling from God in our lives. I love this passage. I loved it as I read it, just seeing the way that the church, universal, and that contest expressed itself. The love, the care, the purpose they showed, and the way they expressed God's love. And I'd encourage each of us to think how we can express our love, our care, our calling in the greater church as well as our church right here in Takanini. Let me pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you are building a true kingdom, that every nation will hear of the love of Jesus, that you said when you left, go into all the world and make disciples, Lord. And we give you thanks that in all the world, your name is being declared, that disciples are being made, Lord. And we give you thanks that you have united us in this purpose. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love one another better. We pray that you'd help us to open our hearts and minds wider to the people of God. We pray that you'd give us a spirit of humility, a spirit of openness, and a spirit of wisdom in how to best build a national and international church of God that will win people to your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.